Alex, once again, with another episode of the EOT News Flash. This is episode 80, Just Play Kalidus. And of course, once again, I am joined by my good friend, Mr. Spellpierce himself, directly beneath me on YouTube. What's going on, Steven? How are you tonight?
It's going pretty well, and looking forward to the next string of tournaments and talking about the PT meta.
Yes. We'll get to that here in a moment, but before we dig into any of that, I want to make sure that we bring a couple of things to light. If you're on YouTube, you can look down in the right-hand corner of your screen, and you'll see Bub the Zombie, who we revealed last week as the token that you can get from us if you are playing at GP Denver. Come and find us. Come and hang out with us at the Crown Plaza Hotel, I believe?
Yes. It's the Crown Plaza Denver. It's on Glenarm and 14th Street.
Yes.
Or Glenarm and 15th Street, depending on which side you want to go to.
Yep, and we will be there Saturday night after the end of day one. So come and have a drink with us. Come and play some Magic. I'm sure we'll have some decks on us. Maybe some Commander, maybe some Modern, who knows. Maybe some Pack Horrors, who cares. We'll play some Magic, though, and you can get one of these tokens from us. And I just so happen to have the tokens right here. There are 500 Bub tokens that you can get from us at GP Denver. This is like only like a handful of them. Look, just look at these. Like,
oh, really? A handful that's fitting in your hand?
Yeah.
I thought that's how that worked.
Probably so. So yeah, it is an Eternalized token. It has our little slogan on there. Let's do it again. Has Bub the Zombie on there. You know, George Romero, rest in peace. And yeah, these are super sweet. I have 500 of them. I don't want to come back with any of them, personally. You seem confused there.
Dude, I'm trying to get you on this God Bros gift deck. You're going to need these things.
I know, but I only played the tournament once.
I'm
going to keep like 10 to myself.
You're going to be that person who just leaves all their tokens at the end of each round. It's like, hey, Judge, do you have a zombie? I just need to use one. I have a backpack full of, like, I have 300 of them or so, but I just really need a 2/2 zombie.
Yeah, we'll give those out. It's going to be great, yeah. So those are fantastic. I'm super excited to give those out, so definitely come and see us at GP Denver and the Crown Plaza Hotel and all that good stuff. Also, before we get to the Pro Tour, Wizards announced the promos that you can get if you go to HasCon this year. HasCon being Hasbro's first convention ever, which is surprising that they're doing one after being in existence for how many years, do you think, Steven? Like 40 some odd years?
Yeah, they're just trying to make an exclusive convention that will, you know, carry a name. They just have to build it up at this point.
Yeah. And so we covered this a couple weeks ago, and for, I think, the super exclusive price of $600. Uber tier beyond Uber tier. God tier. God Pharaoh tier, if you will. You can go and get the VIP Magic the Gathering Deluxe Super Ultra God Tier Pharaoh package. And inside that package, you'll receive not one, not two, but three promos. And here they are. Ta-da! So these are pretty sweet. Moving from left to right on your screen, if you're on YouTube, we have the Sword of Dungeons and Dragons for 3 generic mana and 2 to equip. They're much like the other Swords of X and Y. This one gives +2/+2 protection from rogues and clerics, and whenever the creature deals damage, that's wearing it, deals damage to a player, create a 4/4 gold dragon creature token with flying and roll a d20. If you roll a 20, repeat this process.
All right, I'd like to put a little asterisk there. It's actually a Sword of D&D.
Sort of.
Not X and Y.
Oh, yeah. I was comparing it to the other Swords of X and Y. But yes, this is the Swords of Dungeons and Dragons. And interestingly enough, you can actually open this not just at HasCon, but once Unstable comes out this year, you can open Sword of Dungeons and Dragons in Unstable. How cool is that?
I think it's pretty sweet. And I'm really glad that Wizards threw me a bone and didn't add the line of text that if you roll a 1, destroy Sword of Dungeons and Dragons.
Despite the ultimate flavor win that would be, but unfortunately not. Wasn't meant to be.
Probably not enough room. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still though, I'd just play this sweet awesome card and that'd be the story of my life.
Fell apart.
And I'd love it every time to be like, sure, we did it.
But I mean, think about it. That's you're okay with doing that.
Yeah, it's a crit fail. Crit fail on all the most important things in D&D.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, though? All of the other Swords of X and Y have 2 effects. This one only has 1.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, kind of I guess creating a 4/4 gold dragon and rolling a d20 kind of counts as your two actions.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, the other card in the middle is Grimlock, Dinobot leader. Me, Grimlock! Yeah, I'm not going to do that again. For one mana, a green, a red, and a white, so a generic in there as well, 4/4, a legendary artifact creature Dinobot, and it gives other Transformers, vehicles, and other dinosaurs you control, +2/+0, and for paying 2, you can convert a Transformer toy you own to its other mode, and Grimlock Dinobot leader becomes Grimlock Ferocious King, who on the backside is an 8/8 with trample with the exact same text. That's
pretty cool.
Pretty cool, yeah.
It fits Transformers perfectly.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not quite sure why they say it becomes its other half. Why don't they say it transforms?
Maybe it just would have been too many instances of the word on the card.
Nah.
And they don't want to do that.
I mean, they put a bunch of sevens on Grizzlebrand. They could put a bunch of transforms on Grimlock.
Yeah, but numbers are a little bit easier to put on a card than like one word without it being repetitive.
I guess.
And also, I guess this is thematically Transformer as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Still.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. And it's the templating of how Transform cards work. It's always becomes something else. So it fits, I guess. I don't know. But more exciting than all of these, I think, this is my favorite one personally, it is Nerf War. For 3 generic, a blue and a red, you get a sorcery that lets you fire a Nerf Blaster, note an unmodded. They have clarified this in rules text upon rules text. An unmodded Nerf Blaster until empty at target library from at least 2 meters, so about 6 feet away. For each card knocked off that library, put it into its owner's graveyard, and Nerf War deals a half damage to that player.
That's so really cool. I can't use my blowgun from college for humans versus zombies?
No, Steven, you cannot use a blowgun.
But it had a long shot and then 2 scattershot barrels. Does it, great.
Does it fire foam darts?
It did fire foam darts, yeah.
I'll allow it.
I actually survived that instance of HVZ playing with that.
Ah.
And no, I was not one of the people who hid in my dorm. This was freshman year when I didn't have too much to do and my classes were easy, and I just ran around like a madman.
Yeah, we played something like that in college. We called it the assassination game, or tag. And
okay.
You actually got a mark if you were, like, everybody that was playing got a target, and you had to be on your game at all time. And I was making it through, like, most of the week. It only lasted for a week. I made it to, like, Thursday. And I remember, you know, pretty vaguely, but I'm pretty sure it was really early in the morning. I was on my way back from breakfast to get ready for class. And then out of nowhere, this girl jumps on my back and just whispers, "There can only be one," which is how you took somebody out. And I just dropped to my knees. I'm like, no.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And as you got more confirmed kills, you got more ways to, you know, attack them. You could use, you know, weapons and power-ups and stuff like that. But it was a lot of fun. But, yeah. College is great in some cases.
In a lot of cases, yes.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, actually, yeah. College is a great experience. I highly encourage college.
Yes.
The EOT newsflash. Proponents of higher education.
And I like how all of our examples and reasons to go to college so far haven't been about education. But
well, those are just bonus factors.
Yeah, they're all the bonus things.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, you get the degree, but at the same time, you get to kill zombies. But anyway.
And apparently other humans.
There are humans. But you know what didn't survive the Pro Tour? Zombies. Unlike last time, the zombies did not prevail. Unless you count the eternalized tokens that you can make off of Urshaker
Kenra.
Yeah. But whatever. That's not the point. So the PT was over the weekend over in beautiful Kyoto, Japan, and in the hands of one Paulo Vitor Dama da Rosa, he took it all the way home with ramen op red, which is pretty cool. This is, I think, 2 Pro Tours in the past, like, 3 years that's been won by Mono Red. Martin Dang won it with Mono Red back in Core Set 2014, I think.
Thanks, Goblin Rabble Master.
Yeah. That card was a mistake. But yeah, so aside from Paulo winning with Mono Red, the real story of the Pro Tour was Mono Red itself. And I'm going to throw up a picture up here on the screen really quick, and it's going to show off the day one metagame breakdown. And if you have not seen this, prepare yourself for a shock. Drum roll, please.
See what you did there. Sean would not appreciate it.
Oh, I see what I did.
You didn't even catch it. Oh, man. Come on. That's the number one thing about puns. You have to always be looking for them.
I was just playing it off like it was nothing. I was trying to be one with nothing. It's all right.
Your flow wasn't too good, man.
No, it really wasn't. Quite incendiary, actually. So our day one metagame breakdown had 115 players on Ramanop Red with a combined percentage of the field 24.8.
Yay!
Yeah. Second closest, Mono Black Zombies, 53 pilots, 11.4% of the field. And from there, it just goes down.
Well, typically, PTs are a little diverse, and you have, one or two, standout decks. But yeah, it's kind of surprising that a lot of the teams decided to show up with Mono Red.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And to go a little bit further, we have the conversion rates for the top decks here as well. So Mono Red put 39 players in day two with a conversion rate of 73% for day two. Mono Black Zombies, 25 players, 84 players into day two with Mono Red. Mono Black Zombies, 36 players at 67% conversion rate. Black King Constrictor put 35 of their 45 players with a 77.8 conversion rate. Vehicles put 20 of their 33 into day two with 60.6 conversion rate. And Blue Red Control, 19 of 29 at 65.5. Red Green Ramp, 15 of 24, 62.5% conversion rate. These are impressive numbers, but let's talk about Mono Red here, Steven. What on earth happened? You might say Earthshaker. What on Earthshaker happened?
No. The other one was good because it was natural. That was very forced.
It was very forced.
I think as far as this Mono Red deck, I don't think it was a failure to innovate, which is the majority of why red decks will shine early on in the format. Mm-hmm. I think it was mainly due to the mana base just being able to deal your opponent 20.
Yeah, that's what's insane. It's the namesake of the deck, Ramanop Ruins, Scavenging Ground, and Sun Scorched Desert gives a Mono Red deck reach.
Mm-hmm. It just has it naturally, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And depending on how you build your creatures, build your creature base, you can get to the five lands and just pop the land to get them.
Yeah, exactly. 24 lands in this deck is absurd. I mean, when you're playing, four and five drops, Paulo's deck has three Hazoret's main board, two Chandra's, and then two Glorybringers on the sideboard. This is a high curve for a Mono Red deck.
This is very similar to a Sly curve, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. So what do you think it is about this Mono Red deck here, Steven, that really drew 115 people to play it in a Pro Tour?
All right. I think it comes down to one word, and that's haste.
Yeah.
The ability for this deck to just punish things when it's on the play is very high. So you could be playing ramp, control, or any sort of mid-range shell, and if you do not have a 2-drop or something that's going to pull you back at 3, you're so far behind.
Yes.
You really need to have the removal spell for their, probably the 2-1 that they're going to play on 2, or if they get the Falconroth Gorger start. You need to be able to start dealing with their creatures and preserving your life total so that your in-game plan can actually, have a chance to succeed.
Yeah, and you're right. Haste is absolutely the keyword here. So Belmont Courier has haste. Village Messenger has haste. Urshaker Kenra has haste. Oncrop Crasher has haste, and the ability to falter a creature. Hazoret has haste, and every time I saw Hazoret come down, it was online already.
Hazoret's really good for this deck.
Yeah, just absolutely insane. Did you happen to see the semifinal?
Yeah.
The Mono Red Mirror. So I forget the player's name. but he's one of the Japanese players. And to be fair, he should have knocked Paulo out of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So they were both tied. I think it was 2 games apiece. And Paulo is at 12 or 12 or 11. And
he was at 11.
Yeah, 11, yeah. And his opponent has Hazaret on the board and 2 cards in hand. And if he played it right, he could have sequenced it to just burn Paulo out, just kill him on the spot. But he goes to his attack step.
And yeah, he got really excited for drawing the burn spell that he needed.
Yeah.
And he just got ahead of himself and tried to swing.
Yeah, went straight to his attack step, tried to swing with Hazaret. Judge is like, hey, buddy, you can't do that. You're in main phase 2 now. And Paulo won on the subsequent turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a part of magic. Like,
yeah.
That's why you need to, you know, take 3 seconds, think through all your lines. Like, there are some people who can play very fast at, you know, a successful level, like LSV. And it's kind of funny listening to him on LR Cast. He mentions one of his advantages is the speed of his play because he makes other people speed up.
Yes.
And you just have to understand, you need to play the game at your own pace and try not to get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, mistakes like this happen. And granted, you know, it was on a bigger scene than normal, but, you know, it just kind of shows you everyone's human. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Even the best Magic players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just imagine sitting there with however many thousands of people are walking across the world and you are on the biggest stage for Magic against a Hall of Famer and former Pro Tour champion.
Yeah, and you have the potential to win. I mean, like, both of them were shaking, and it makes complete sense because it's an awesome place to be.
Yeah,
and there are so many different factors there. Yeah, I don't fault the guy at all for messing up. You know, I feel bad for him. You know, he had it, but he wasn't able to go on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we've both been there, you and I, Steven, where, like, you're literally...
Not to the Pro Tour, but sure.
Not the Pro Tour,
where you're going.
Maybe someday, where you're like, okay, I've got a creature in play, I've got 1 card in hand, and it's like, if the top deck is there, you just win, and you draw, and it's there... I mean, my gut reaction, you know, as like a newer Magic player when this has happened to me, is just to like just throw it on the board and say, I gotcha. But to really consider it. I mean, I can't count the number of times where I had a win on board with the Splinter Twin combo. Drew the Splinter Twin, like, okay, we have it, and put it down, and then picked it back up and flipped my cards a couple of times, like, okay, and then and just looked at the board like another minute, and like, okay, tap 4 Splinter Twin.
And then your opponent gets real frustrated at the slow roll.
Exactly, yes. But...
Assuming they're tapped out, of course.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to weigh things here, you know, here and there. But, I mean, sometimes you just got to take a step back and think. And, you know, it's a really good indication of just, you know, what can happen. You can blow Pro Tour Finals and, you know, the championship and the glory and all that. So, yeah, like, I'm sure you've been there too, Steven. We've all been there.
Yeah, it's just, everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good life lesson. Everybody makes mistakes. Unless you play Kalidas. That's not a mistake.
Yeah. In regards to what you should most likely be on moving forward, a black deck should be at the top of your list.
Yes. Yeah, so now that we've seen what has happened at the Pro Tour, obviously, you know, 115 pilots out of 462 some odd pilots at the actual Pro Tour, a quarter of the metagame, like, the weekend after, or the days following, things got really wild on Magic Online. I played it twice on the Sunday after the, or I played against it twice with Blue-Eye Monument. The day after the Pro Tour was over, the Sunday following, I played against it twice and kept seeing it pop up everywhere on every other stream I was watching. Everyone kept playing Mono Red, but they weren't winning. I didn't lose against it. Wait, did I? No, I didn't lose against it. Yeah.
humble brag.
I haven't touched Moto in years like this. Have you lost to it on Moto yet?
Yeah, I've played 106 matches with Gift. I've definitely lost.
but yeah, like, everybody is ready to fight it now. So what have you seen, Steven, in particular that has proven to be really good against Mono Red?
So I think you're pretty well off playing zombies against Mono Red.
Yep.
You have Grasp of Darkness and Dark Salvation to deal with Hazaret. I think the only thing that you really care about is maybe Glorybringer, but I mean, even then you still have Grasp to, yeah, to shoot it out of the sky before it takes out something. But the biggest thing is going to be if you're playing Kalidus or not. Like, if you're green-black Delirium or green-black counters, you want, you know, access to 2 to 3 Kalidus, same mm-hmm. with zombies, yep, just because you can. And if you want to go even deeper and run the 2-3 black-black Lifelinker out of, what is he, Aetherborn something
or
other?
Oh, yeah, Aetherborn something or other, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Non-flying Vampire Nighthawk.
I used to play with him, but yeah, the card's really good right now because it gets in the way of all the big green-black stuff, so they can't really block, or they can't really attack into you. Mm-hmm. Stops the bigger red creatures that have eternalized, I guess, just the Earthshaker Kenra. But then all the red creatures are 2-1, so it just says, all right, what do you got?
Yeah.
Like, you lose a guy and a shock on this. Yeah.
Yeah, Gifted Aetherborn. Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, just some way to gain life is, mm-hmm, I think, on everybody's list. So the black decks are playing Kalidus and Gifted Aetherborn. The white decks are playing Sunscourged Champion. The blue-white control decks are playing Blessed Alliance, and in some cases even Oketra's Last Mercy. I think that was something that you were watching out for on your stream the other night, wasn't it, Steven?
Oh, yeah, but I only had to well, what was it? I had to worry about Approach of the Second Sun.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I ended up losing the 2 blue-white control decks because I didn't sequence my creature at the start of the game correctly. But, I mean, it is what it is. Although there was no way I was going to win the second matchup. The Abandoned Sarcophagus was just way too much value for my opponent.
Yeah, that's a really powerful card against blue-white gifts or other variants of gifts.
Yeah, I was playing
Which we won't talk about right now.
Fine. Still, the my version is a little bit more susceptible to control, whereas the strategic planning version of Gift does a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, of course, now you just can't focus on the mono red menace because the metagame has reacted violently to mono red. So to say that you can just go in with lifelinkers and call it a day is not correct, I don't think, anymore. You have to go one level higher. So if you were gonna removing your own bias against gifts, if you were gonna go play in a tournament this weekend, what might you take to really fight against the reaction meta to mono red?
At this point, okay, if I'm on Magic Online, I'm actually going to play mono red. And the reason being, so the PTQ that happened at the Pro Tour, or the PTQ that happened directly after the Pro Tour, was the backlash to mono red. Mm-hmm. It's like you had a bunch of green black decks, zombies, just all over the top 32 of that PTQ. And it makes a lot of sense because they're all very well positioned against mono red.
Yep.
And if you've played some like Magic Online leagues, there are a couple more control decks along with that. Mm-hmm. Green red Pummeler, I've played twice this week in like the past 2 days or something like that. Like, that's starting to pick up, and I've seen other people play against it. You want to try and go over the top of the Kalidus deck, basically.
Yep.
But in order to do that, like, blue-red control is going to be the best deck to take on the Kalidus because you have the burn spells, harness lightning, and all of the counter spells to just, like, keep it down. Mm-hmm. And those decks have a hard time recovering, especially from an Hour of Devastation, if you can, you know, minimize the number of zombies and their creature size.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I would go with a mono red deck because you're going to get over the decks who are now vying for the position of the top deck from the black decks.
Yeah, definitely. And you hit on the card exactly that I was going to bring up, was Hour of Devastation, which showed up at PT Hour of Devastation, but not in the numbers that even like Sean and I were predicting, like, because we thought that card was just going to break out and be everywhere. So
yeah, I don't think there was a good enough green red ramp deck.
No, I don't think there is, but that's a deck that I expect to see maybe play a little bit more too, because while these mid-range decks beat up on the mono-red decks, these ramp decks just go completely over the top of these mid-range decks and just say, fine, play your creatures, I'm going to play Ulamog on turn 5, and if you can't beat that, well, the game's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Or play ahead of curve Hour of Devastation and just call it a night, you know? So it is a weird reactionary period for Standard, and I think it'll calm down a little bit.
Well, no, this is how Standard should be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
This isn't like as open. So if you go back to back whenever we had the like four color decks from what was that? Dragons. The main reason all that was happening was because the mana bases were so easy to put together, and you just like had to sequence them a little bit differently, and you know you get things to work. You know, you had the Crackling Doom Rhino decks, but all those decks kind of shared the same cards because since you had access to all the colors, there was, you know, Crackling Doom was probably the best card to be playing at the time. But now you have a wide open metagame where you have an aggro deck, mid-range deck, and control decks all being viable, and they're just going to do the rock, paper, scissors motion with green-red ramp, gifts, and like a couple random combo decks just thrown in there trying to, you know, like punch through the little triangle.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, and you certainly have your way of fighting against this, Steven. I know you're playing a variant of the Bant or Blue-White's Gifts deck. I have got some modifications to make to Blue-White Monuments. I think that Thalia, Heretic Cathar is very good against a wide range of decks right now.
Yeah, that card's like overperformed for me in the Pant deck.
Yep.
And I'm only playing two of them.
Yeah, I might try to push three into Blue-White Monument just because punishing the haste creatures out of mono-red and then all of the dual lands that a lot of these decks are actually being forced to play, probably pretty good, I think. So you'll see that probably tomorrow night in the stream. Maybe.
Right on. I will be traveling to Minneapolis, so I'll probably tune in.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us where you're going. Minneapolis for a
Grand Prix.
Ah, there's my word.
super pumped. Like I said, I've played 106 matches with Godfrey's Gift, and I've 5-0'd two leagues, have a couple 4-1s, and a lot of 3-2s. So I think my win percentage is sitting somewhere around like 58%. But that's including like the first variants of the deck. So you know, there are a bunch of losses while we're trying to iron it out.
Hey,
but I'm really happy with where it's at.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. So definitely, if you're watching the stream this week for DP Minneapolis, look for Steven. He'll be the one with a big old box on the table for his opponents to open up and then just go, ah, crap.
Yeah, pretty much. Finally figured out like what I'm going to do to symbolize the eternalized cards until we get our tokens. I'm just going to turn them upside down and be like, here, you read it. Just a good way to keep track.
I'm surprised you just don't have the tokens for them, though.
Well, you haven't mailed them yet.
Oh, wait, not the ones. Okay, I'm...
Because the Godfrey's Gift makes anything.
It makes anything,
I honestly have considered... like just trying to zombify the art, but I don't have the time nor the Photoshop skills to really do that.
Oh, just get like a index card and just get and bust the Sharpie out and just freehand it, man.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't count how many tournaments I took Mono Blue Devotion with my hand drawn rapid hybridization token with me, and it was like a little stick figure guy. It looked like Freakazoid, and I just put it on the table and I'm like, all right, here he comes.
Here's your frog lizard.
Here's your frog lizard.
Speaking of lizards, I'm a big fan of a lizard in Standard.
Yeah, lizards are pretty cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all we're going to say about that.
Let's just say there will be a lot of energy.
Yeah? All
right. Yep.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Yeah, so I think that about wraps up for tonight. Kind of a short episode. You know, definitely just, you know, if you're grinding out to play in any big tournament or if you're going to GP Minneapolis or GP Denver here in a couple of weeks, definitely keep your eye on the Modo results. And, I mean, obviously they are very truncated now due to how Wizards wants to show off information. Definitely keep an eye on things, you know, watch some streams, watch Steven and I stream, watch Sean's stream. All the information for those is going to be in the links to the show notes. And go check out what we're doing and just, you know, kind of absorb some information there. And hopefully it can convert you into some W's for your next FNM or GP or PTQ. Because that's what we're here
or
for.
Or RPTQ.
Right? Or RPTQ.
That's next weekend.
That is true, yeah. Or RPTQ, yeah. Don't come to me for RPTQ help. Or do, actually. Yeah, I'm confident in my playability. Yeah, yeah. So,
I issued a challenge to Drew this past week, but he ended up being busy. So in our conversation, he had mentioned that he'd loved, like, he'd pay money to see me play a red deck. It was just like, well, I got a stream next Tuesday. Let's do it. So
I should have taken that bet for me, because I played Mono Red on Tuesday night and it was a disaster.
Yeah, again, like, I don't think the MTGO metagame is favorable for Mono Red.
No,
yet.
I
think this Saturday will be.
Yeah, I mean, I played round one against Black Green Energy, and as soon as they played three creatures in the same turn, it's like, yep, this is over. And one of them was a giant walking ballista. Like, this is over. We managed to beat the mirror after eternalizing two Urshaker Kenras, and just, we were both empty-handed, and finally he played the land and passed. I'm like, okay, now I can kill you. I managed to beat Red-Green Pummeler because he didn't play any Pummelers, which, you know, whatever. And then lost to Mardu Vehicles that turned into Mardu Control, featuring every freaking Planeswalker legal and standard, it felt like.
But that's what it's done for, like, the past
bit. But I never seen it actually played against me.
Oh, that's fair. That's really weird, too, because Mardu Vehicles can sometimes just stay aggressive and just, like, are they playing walkers, or am I getting my face bashed in?
Because, like, I crushed him when he was just playing the Scrap Heap Scrounger. Wow, that's a hard name to say. But then when on turn three on the play game two, he played Gideon of the Trials. I'm like, oh, crap.
Wah, wah.
And my board was empty. Yeah, we conceded to that real fast. So, yeah. Oh, and I also played against the Obzon token deck that has what I'm pretty sure is a pseudo-infinite combo in it, combining Mysteries of the Uvenwald and... the black white revolt enchantments.
Hidden stockpile.
Yeah.
And you also have Anointed Procession in that deck as well.
Yeah, that and then the Anointed Priests.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Like, I got them down to two. They untapped and gained 9 life. It's like, what?
Yeah, I did some testing, earlier in the standard season, and Kevin, who I was testing with, it got up to like 116 at one point.
Jeez. That's a scary deck to play against, just flat out. And if they untap and play like Nissa, and you're like, all right, Anthem, you're dead. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, well. But yeah, that's a really cool deck, too. Go watch the streams. Yeah, go check out Stevens and Mines and Sean's streams. The replays are probably up on Twitch. You can find Owen over on YouTube on the EOT News/ channel. Yeah, there's some entertainment to be had, to say the least.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, before we close up the night, there was another announcement we made today. We now know the name of Magic Digital Next. This is super exciting. It's called.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's called Magic the Gathering Arena. And we know nothing about it yet.
So you know how we had Magic the Gathering Duels?
Duels.
Now, Arena. More people are involved.
I wasn't ready for that. Wait, so the logical progression is Duels, Arena...
Ooh, Fight Club? I mean, like, Arena's already, like, Thunderdome? Yeah, I think Thunderdome's fine.
I would play that religiously, but yeah.
Magic the Gathering, Thunderdome.
That's our next set, actually.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. That is, like, unstable, is it not?
Probably, yeah. I hope
I mean, it is unstable, but I mean, it's the set unstable.
But yeah, if you want to find out more about it and play in the closed beta, you can find out more about it on September 7th at 1 p.m. Pacific time, yes, over on Magic the Gathering's Twitch channel, and find out some information about it. And there's no telling what they're going to reveal to us at that point, so who knows? But yeah, that about wraps it up for tonight. We're going to go test some more standard. Steven's going to prepare for GP Minneapolis.
Oh, I'm done preparing. Oh. It's pack time.
Oh, it's pack time. Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, you leave tomorrow. Yeah, you can't test anymore. What's done is done.
Day before an event, if I have my deck locked in, I try not to think about it because I don't want to second guess myself. I mean, I'll theorize things, but I'm not going to like swap sideboards or anything like that just because I've gotten everything locked in.
Yeah, and your list looks really good. I'm really excited to see how well you do with it. It looks like a really cool list. So,
it's been a lot of fun so far. People who've been tagging along in the Twitch streams have really been enjoying it as well. So,
there you go. And if they want to watch you on Twitch, Steven, where can they do that?
It's twitch.tv/sspellpierce.
Yep, and you've got a sweet new layout. You can listen to Steven play a lot of movie soundtracks.
Well, yeah, movie soundtracks was for the PTQ, and then I figured, Monday and Tuesday at work, I just, like, hopped on YouTube and went through different playlists and just added songs as we went through. So a lot of rock, pop, and I have a couple goofy songs from, like, Weird Al and Tobuscus and a couple other places, but I haven't actually added those to my stream list yet.
There you go, yeah. But if you want to listen to the entire Inception soundtrack, you can do it on Steven's stream, which is...
Yeah, I did that during the PTQ. And it's funny because there are a bunch of, like, low moments in that. So people just, like, where'd the music go? Just be like, oh, this is, like, the 20-minute period of dumb, dumb. And it's, okay, let's move on.
And then the Mombasa track kicks in. It's like, oh, my gosh. I love that soundtrack so much. Yeah, and you can also watch me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/EOTNewsflash. I will be streaming at least once this weekend, if not twice, depending on my schedule and all that. But you can see me playing probably some Blue Eye Monument and whatever else the hell I feel like playing. Yeah.
You should play Green Black Constrictor.
It's too expensive.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It did finally pop up out of the limit for mana traders.
Yeah, it's absurdly expensive now, mostly because of the Nissas and Lilianas.
Lilianas, yeah. They're like 25 ticks each.
Oh, yeah, higher than that. Insane. They're like pushing 30. Like, I built mono black zombies and had to cut the Lilianas from the sideboard to cut my limit. So, jeez. And I couldn't figure out what to put in replace of them. So I was like, do we submit a 13-card sideboard? Probably not. But yeah, and then like Kalidus is right behind it, you know. But fortunately, Kalidus is a little bit more, has been opened more, so it's not as expensive, and it's already on the downtick as far as price goes.
Yep.
But I will be playing something fun this weekend for sure. So yeah, that about wraps up for tonight. Definitely go check out Steven and I over on Twitch as SpellPierce, EOTNews/. Also check out Sean at Busted Sleeves on all forms of social media. Twitter, Twitch, all that good stuff. You can find Steven on Twitter at Mr. or just SBellPierce. Mm-hmm. And you also find us at EOT Newsflash on Twitter and also on YouTube and Facebook at EOT Newsflash. And you'll probably see some random posting about us streaming and whatnot, and also how to get your very own bub tokens. There's so many of these things.
I can't wait. It's going to be great. Were you still going to end up sending a couple to Sean and I for the LCQ and RPTQ in Texas?
Oh, that's next weekend?
Yeah, that's next weekend.
Maybe? Probably?
Okay.
I probably can. I just need to get a stamp.
Yeah, I will happily pitch in for that.
I need a home address. That's all I need.
All right. Well, I'm not going to give it to you right now.
Oh, no, Nat. We've already done that once.
Yeah, that was an oopsie on the stream. That was our very first stream back when we did Vintage Cube.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and somebody accidentally revealed their home address on stream.
I didn't realize it was saved on a like convenient page on Modo. It just like pops up, and you're just like, oh, well,
whatever. Yeah, it's been edited out now. You can't find it, but still, it was a really funny moment, so there you go.
Oh, it's the internet. You can find anything.
That's probably true, yeah. But don't go looking for Steven. That's just, no, don't do that. He's a nice guy. All right, Steven, do you want to say it?
Yeah.
You're a nice guy.
I'm always down to say it.
All right.
All right. Thank you all for joining. Let's do it again.
All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. Have a great night.